हरिः
ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Bhakti Siddhanta Adhyaya 1, Adhikarana 1, page 18. Saha means that this alone is the best. Bhakti is distinct from Dharma described in the text. The Shroop qualities of Bhakti are described. It is causeless, ahaituki, devoid of other goals or motives, since it is by its nature the very form of happiness, sought by other methods. It is impossible to obstruct this bhakti since no other object exists which gives higher bliss. When a taste for bhakti develops, by that bhakti, bhakti yoga, characterized by hearing and chanting, begins. 18. Vritti. Having stated the Srup Lakshana of bhakti, next, the Tathastha Lakshana of bhakti is elucidated. By the performance of bhakti detached from the material goals and knowledge of the Lord, maybe switch the knowledge of the Lord and the detachment, because otherwise it means detachment from the material goals and knowledge of the Lord, then we should be detached from the knowledge of the Lord. Automatically develops in one's heart, without separate endeavor, by the grace of the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, one who tries to cultivate only detachment and knowledge without developing taste for bhakti will not attain ultimate success, because those results are temporary in nature. Thus, bhakti is independent, whereas jnana and vairagya are dependent on bhakti. So even you have these aspects of jnana and vairagya that are connected to the Lord, they're actually still secondary aspects. They're only in support of the primary. So the intent has to be the primary. Otherwise, then, means the detachment and that, why would we be detached unless it's for the benefits we'll get from the detachment? Right? Or the knowledge that we want to know ourselves. But it's more about our own understanding and the taste we get from that, as opposed to just we know the Lord, but we want to surrender to the Lord, we want to please the Lord. We want to do things in devotion offered to the Lord. Right? It's different. Because the point is they go together. The primary and the secondary. You know, it's just like in cooking. Then the cooking itself and the kitchen utensils and ingredients go together. But the point is, you have to know is that the primary is the ability to the cooking. That's knowing that cooking. The others is how it's manifest. Right? Because that's the point of the Chintamayavita Tattva, is that they're simultaneous. It means there's no meaning to Purusha unless there's Prakriti. Right? But the Purusha is still independent. Right? Krishna's one. He's not extending his energies. He exists. He is independent. Then, to increase bliss, he extends his energies. But the energies don't function without him. They don't have a separate existence. It's not like there's him and then there's the energies. Right? It means they're dependent. And he's the supreme enjoyer when he extends his energies. Right? Otherwise, he's Atmarama. Right? So the two go together. You can't separate them. But there is a hierarchy. That's the whole thing. So, therefore, then, one may have knowledge of the Lord or detachment from the material energy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that one has attained bhakti. Like we see so many times these great sages and that, they're on this platform. They're called jnanis, but they're not called devotees. They're not called devotees. Right? But they're great personalities, very pious, they know the Lord, they're in knowledge, but their point is to get free from material energy. Then you have the same exact position with the same detachment, same knowledge on their devotees, the Shantabhaktas, because they're interested in that service to the Lord. Does that make sense? Very fine point, but important point. Because here's that there's the difference. Are you dealing with the primary, the inherent or the intrinsic bhakti, or are you dealing with the secondary? In other words, is it Sarup Lakshana or the Tathasta Lakshana? Because they're all Lakshanas of bhakti, like the 26 qualities of the devotees. They're all Lakshanas of the devotees, all qualities. But that complete surrender to the Lord, that's the primary. All the other 25 are secondary. Through that, then they're manifest. So that bhakti is expressed through those other ones. You surrender, but in doing that, then you see is they're poetic, they say things about the Lord, or they're very detached, or so many things that there's. Does that make sense? They come up from that. So it's if one can distinguish this, then all these points that are made, the technical points and the application and that, then have no difficulty. That means you don't have to know them, you have to apply them, but you can tell what's what. Otherwise, we get distracted, that is the thing. Just like, let us say there's someone who is a good cook, or an excellent cook. Right? He'll naturally, if he's setting up a kitchen, he'll get good things. But what we'll get is based on what he wants to cook. What he cooks, and all that. Then he'll choose those particular items to have in his kitchen. Right? He has a wide range of cooking. He may have a wide range of things. Otherwise, just a few particular pots and spoons and, other accessories, and that's it. But now let's say we have someone who has developed an interest in cooking. He's an enthusiast. He'll go down to the shop and buy all kinds of stuff. And he'll, what's the latest, the best, and that. He'll check and get all the different things. But he can't actually use them. So that's the difference. He thinks because I have a great kitchen, therefore I've become a cook. That's the difference. So that's the point is we get distracted by this karma and jnana. Like we were discussing before. We have this degree, therefore I'm a great devotee. Or I have this ability. Therefore I'm a great devotee. I'm a doctor, so I'm a great devotee. And like I mentioned before, if the same day two devotees join, one's a doctor and one's not, just an ordinary guy, by inherent nature, how you'll deal, the doctor devotee is more senior and is more advanced than the other one, which is not necessarily the case. Like, I don't know if you remember way back when we were on that side. That's the new school. This is the old school. And so then, we'd be having classes and stuff like that. And now and again, Yadu would come and sit in. Right? So, as a person, he's technically quite simple. Right? Not complicated at all. And probably you'd say is if you put him in the academic classroom, he would be a bit slow. But when it came to understanding these points that we're discussing, he was the best. And he'd ask questions on them and things like that. How he'd speak, you see he understood. So he was, like that. So it's not necessarily, but at the same time, then you have personalities like Ramanujacharya and others who are great scholars, great devotees like this. So you have both ends, you know, or that one with Lord Chaitanya's pastime, that Brahman who couldn't read, that Lord Chaitanya said he's the best. So the point is devotion is what actually defines it, not sentiment, but the actual devotion. So that means it's a combination. You have, this is what you want to do. You're not doing it just because it feels right. It's what you're committed to. That's what rati is. Rati means you have that attraction. Yes?
Just yesterday night, I met one old group of devotee. Basically, we were moving the Brahmachari ashram, and then the guy who was just joined the Brahmachari ashram, and first year they have this training period, and he started complaining, oh, like, so much to do. And that devotee said, you don't know what we did. And he started explaining as a boy, as a kid, what he did, and as we grew up. And when he was a kid, what he was doing, that was nothing compared to what were all the Prabhupada disciples doing. And the whole thing detailed, see, in my whole life from that time to now, I've seen many Bada Babus with tie coming and going. But it only us who stayed back. When I look back at that time, like we sometimes, you know, grumble, oh, we have to work so much hard. But then sometimes it dawns upon me that maybe because we worked so hard, that's why we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, maybe we would have also gone out like everybody else.
And worked for the Bada Babu.
So that, as you were telling about that commitment, they were the ones who committed and then followed the process and then they stayed. Others who had their own ideas, they all...
They all went with some better idea. Okay. Anucheda 4. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhava Bhat Yakinchana. By bhakti, one develops knowledge of the Lord's Sarup.
Bhagavat. It's Bhagavat.
Bhaktir? Bhava Bhaktya. Okay, that's right. I was thinking. At the end of it, it sounded like something you know, but at the beginning. Okay. Is Bhagavat?
Bhagavat Yakinchana.
Oh, okay, so it kind of became. Okay. Yeah, the V becomes the G, and then you switch it from Bengali to Sanskrit, take out the V. Yeah, it's funny like that sometimes. Detachment from all else follows after this. So, in other words, when the bhakti develops, means. Then knowledge of the Lord's Sarup is there. It means you can get knowledge about Him as God. He's already given that, because it's said that on the material platform, even though He cannot be understood by logic and all that, He's arranged or allowed that even a materialist, if they apply themselves to the process, then without that surrender to God and that, they can know up to the point that God's unlimited, you know, God's unchanging, these aspects of Brahman. So that's what you see, is generally all those who have some faith in God see this much, at least. And even those who don't, they'll accept that aspect, though that they don't really want to accept. You know? So that much comes. But here it says is that knowledge, that it's the Sarup of the Lord, and that everything's coming from the Sarup. So they tend to think, okay, there's the impersonal and then there's the Sarup. Because if Krishna's not manifesting anything, then there'll be an unmanifest. No, He Himself is just there. Then the others come. So Prabhupada gives the example of the fire and heat and light. Heat and light around the whole room, that's the impersonal. It comes from fire. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayas Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. Bhakti dedicated to Lord Krishna, endowed with special moods, quickly produces detachment from material goals and knowledge of the Lord. From material goals and knowledge of the Lord, devoid of the desire for liberation. Oh, I see. It's because that's the way it is in the translation. That's what it's doing. Yeah, I would have a tendency to put a comma there after material goals, even though in American English they're like punny. You know, they can remove all punctuation and just jumble it up and you can figure it out. Then, you know, it's like perfect. Why don't they just put in the main words and leave out all the they call it conjuncts and, you know, all those things, you know, the ands, ifs, buts, this, and just leave it all out. And just
wait for something.
Like that, yeah, after a while, just be ugh.
They do it, that's called social media.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You just
let
those in the you know, with you.
Hmm? Yeah, just one letter.
Letters and emoji.
Yeah. Yeah, just, well, and the thing is, they're thinking they're being advanced by emojis, but I mean, the what do you call it, the Egyptians and the Chinese, that's all they used was emojis.
They said they make Neanderthals, those from the pre-era of everything, they used it also in their caves.
Okay, yeah, see.
That puts them even more low, you know, the Egyptian caves.
Yeah, at least there was some civilization. Yeah. Yeah, so if you just stay in your glaive and never go out unless you go out to hunt for something to eat, then that would be more like the Neanderthals. So much of your nerds, that's all they do, right? But even that, they've worked out that they don't even have to go out to eat, it'll be delivered to them, so they just stay like that.
That's like Picasso.
Just stay inside. Yeah.
This is also difficulty, you know, in education, because nowadays the present civilization is based on image, but our teachings are based on sound. So, you know, even you see, you know, educational programs for devotees, it's all images. Without that, very few get the idea through, you know, even in Russian language, and it's really well made. They made a Bhagavad Gita manual. It's like one or two lines on a page and everything in images, and devotees just in bliss about that. But I mean, and it works.
Yeah, I mean, for initial input, it may be good for the caching. It means if they get some that's with the drishtanta. But then at some point they have to put it together. And start to, you know, it has to be used and then get a goal. Because it has to be applied. So as long as they're getting all that and they're doing it, okay. You know, if it's just stuff like that. And then, you know, in the future when they're having big, you know, these big, what do you call it, conferences and that, you know, they just kind of convert, you know, they bring in those, you know, guys that do, what do you call it, interior design and all that, and convert the conference hall so it looks like a cave, and then they can project all these things on the walls and all that, and you know, make a bonfire in the middle and all that, and you know, then they can, it would be good. No?
Yeah.
Cultural experience also, get the cultural experience, you know. You know, like that, they could do, what's that called, when, you know, you dress up, you like Halloween.
Theme party.
Yeah, theme party, they can all dress up as Neanderthals.
We do that for the Gurukul, and I mean the pictures one, the 5 to 8, 9 year old.
Yeah, it works really good. The smoke is light. But it's in the Vedic thing you have in the general is because these things will work for them and work for those who are more advanced. But the thing is that vichar in which you can take things beyond. That may be, unless the person making it is thinking like that. The point is the persons who are thinking like that, are they thinking also beyond that? Or they're only thinking up to there? If they think only up to there, it'll be a good preliminary. Then thinking beyond, then you would see that they would also do stuff beyond where they use the same technique to get more developed understanding.
Well, whoever compiled that book, he thinks way beyond.
Okay.
But the followers, I'm not sure whether they...
Yeah.
Because as I have the experience, as soon as you get that book, you know, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it's like scary. It's a lot of text.
Well, if they want to do it, make it even better, is that that along with that book, you also get a book, you know, a similar kind of book, but it's only the line drawing, and then it comes with a pack of crayons, and then you can color them in, you know, so you can make like that. And then, you know, for if you wanted to do younger kids, then you just, same thing, the line drawings, you just don't connect, you just put dots, and then they can draw, you know, and color, you know, it's like that. And, you know, just take off that lines on the top of the page. Means it's these, whatever works is good, but the point is they have to know is you have to keep going. So even if they can't get into a serious study, okay, that's fine, but they should get into a serious practice. You know, I mean, we don't hear Prahlad Maharaj sitting around studying Vedanta Sutra, you know, at 3 years and 5 years old. But he's seriously practicing and discussing. So that should come out. So as long as one's attraction for Krishna is there and the detachment from the material energy is there, then it's fine. But then it should also be seen, because you said before about the prestige in that, it should naturally also develop that humble attitude. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like that Brahmin who couldn't read. He didn't say, I'm a great scholar and this and that, and try to cut a profile.
Yeah.
Like that. But at the same time in the Gaudiya, even they are a great scholar, like the Goswamis, they don't cut a profile. So it's the cultural aspects need to be there. So here is that you have the point of the knowledge of the Lord, of his sarup, comes after you take up bhakti. Because from the material platform, there's no question you can understand the Sarup. There is no philosophical or religious system on the planet that discusses these things. You know, so that means only gaining knowledge of the Lord, and, you know, as basically as Paramatma, you know, as the Lord of creation, the controller, the seer, you know, the judge, the witness, and all these things, then with being that applied with devotion, then you can come to actually understand the Sarup. So it's actually a higher position. So
it's also parallel to the Nyaya class. This is actually what Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions about logic. Because Gautama's definition of logic is, by logic you gain knowledge, mm-hmm. through which you get rid of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, they don't discuss the Sarup of the Lord. It's mm-hmm. not their goal. And, you know, getting out of ignorance means you liberate it.
Right.
But the thing is that it's still in the sphere of a negative. Nothing is positive there.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can see it's only dealing with secondary aspects, yeah. So it's a support.
It's very limited, actually.
Yeah. So unless you're dealing with the Sarup, actually, that's actually positive. So that's what it means, is that what I think you were saying about the one that was here, that when you get that taste for Krishna consciousness, then it actually becomes dynamic. Then it switches over to, you have that Rag Bhakti.
Oh yeah, we were reading yesterday.
Yeah. That Rag Bhakti comes. Before that, it's definitely Vaidhi. And so you could say, in one sense, the perfection of Vaidhi is coming to that. The perfect situation is coming to that Nishta. But then the actual perfection is developing the taste and going on. So that switching is going to be there. So then they naturally comes that you have detachment from material goals, and then you have then knowledge of the Lord devoid of desire for liberation. Because before that, then what Gautama is saying, there is a desire for liberation. That's why you take up the logic. you're becoming logical because you see that the benefit of, then you can remove ignorance, and through removing ignorance, then you will free yourself from material and from pain, like you said, the negative. But you have to come to the positive. So it's only, it can only be a supportive thing. But here is that then you have actual knowledge of the Lord, desire for liberation. So you have to go beyond that. So that's knowledge of the Lord, wanting this liberation. But then by bhakti you get to the point of knowledge of the Lord without desire for liberation. Because you have the sarup, so what's the value of liberation? You know, it'd be like the difference in you're in a situation where everybody's yelling and screaming, kids are running around, and you know, babies are crying, and it's just going crazy. And you just want to get out of there. So just getting away where you don't hear all the noise, you just find some little corner somewhere, you're happy. But like you said, it's not positive. We're talking about you don't have to be around there at all, because eventually he has to walk back into that. We're saying you go to another place, it's a nice place and everything and like that.
Well, the definition matches the Sunday program here, the Russian Sunday program.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, somebody's sitting there, you know, discussing something about Krishna, and then there's everything else.
Yeah, and it's all happening, you know, in the same time. And it's really, yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to be really focused on
Krishna. Well, the thing to do is, if you're giving the class, is put in actual full-on earplugs that you can't hear anything.
And I'm glad there's no, you know, arms there. No machine guns.
Oh, okay, yes. That would also make things, I mean, it would temporarily make things louder, but then after about 10 seconds it would be more quiet.
Yeah,
and or you could just take in, you buy from Navadvip those firecrackers.
Oh yeah,
you know they call them, I think they call them atomic bomb, the little dinky ones,
mm-hmm.
the kind of big like that. Yeah, or we used to call them chocolate bombs, I think, because they look like chocolates the way they're wrapped. So you just, they're giving class, and you have the thing, and just now and again you just light one of those and toss it behind you, and it goes boom, and everyone like that. Now that we have everyone's attention.
Drawing more kids.
Sorry?
After some time, drawing more kids. Because more kids will come for them.
Yeah, the kids will come. Okay. Oh, okay. Then leave the window open, toss it outside. Then all the kids will go outside.
That's like in the part where the kids are the most attentive is the last.
Oh, when you throw in the
everyone's attention.
Yeah, I know, that's very fun. Yeah, they really like that. Yeah, and they don't move back, they all just get right there. Yes, yeah, so the logic takes one beyond the, so that would be a good point to bring out from this one in there. It just made that point. You know, when it's talking about liberation, it says, so it's useful because it takes you, we're trying to go beyond, but this will help in the secondary up to that much. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Those who consider devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, to be something like material emotional affairs, may argue that in the revealed scriptures, sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers, and similar other processes of transcendental realization are recommended. According to them, bhakti, or the devotional service of the Lord, is meant for those who cannot perform the high-grade activities. Generally, it is said that the bhakti cult is meant for the shudras, vaishyas, and less intelligent women class. But that is not the actual fact. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities, and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. It is sublime for the pure devotees who are serious about getting in contact with the Supreme Lord. And it is easy for the neophytes who are just on the threshold of the house of bhakti. To achieve the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a great science. And it is open for all living beings, including the Shudras, Vaishyas, women, and even those lower than the low-born Shudras. Just remember we used to have that one devotee whenever we'd say that.
Yeah.
And he'd go, Hari Ba!
Honorary mention.
Huh?
He would say, we've got honor.
Honorary mention, yeah. No, that was so fun.
Well, it's a different one.
No, maybe I'm missing it.
Oh, that was way when we were over on that side.
Yeah.
He would go, you know, like that, and says, even lower than low-born Shudras, and he goes, hey, that's us, yeah, we can do it, yeah.
Once, and then he had to do it all the time. It was important.
We encouraged him.
You would pause for it.
Then he'd do it, okay. Yes.
And then if he wasn't there, you'd just hear crickets.
No. Where's our man? Yeah. So what to speak of the high-class men like the qualified Brahmins and the great self-realized kings? The other high-grade activities designated as sacrifice, charity, austerity, etc. are all corollary factors following the pure and scientific bhakti cult. The principles of knowledge and detachment are too important. And the great self-realized kings. That's also interesting. Qualified but self-realized kings, because then you're talking about, that's, why not use, take an example of that administration, right?
Also, we can argue that, you know, karma and jnana, because here their praise is higher than bhakti, and bhakti is, you know, for low-class people. But if we look into the practice, our main practice is mind control, starting from Gita and on. But their practice is based on physical body and intellect control. Whatever is in the mind, nobody actually cares. Karmis, they don't care. As long as the ritual is performed properly, then it's fine. And the Gyanis, it's all intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
So if we argue that point, so bhakti is a complete mind control, which is
control of the mind.
Yeah, control of the mind. Mind control is, yes.
I don't know in American English.
Yeah,
mind
it's
different.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. It's not a valid point, actually.
No, but it's very interesting because they skip. Well, if you look at it, the intellect, when you say body, mind, and words, then words is the intellect because it connects with the senses. So the body and then the senses connect with the body. You need the intelligence to run that. But there's no control of the mind. That's very interesting. So the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, you know, the mode of goodness, which is the mind, you don't deal with. Is the identifier of the body that engages the senses.
Also, Krishna mentions in the Gita, among the senses and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the connection. But otherwise, even devotees, they can't explain that point because they don't think that deep. But if you actually think about it, that's our practice, which is highest.
Yes.
Also, Maharaj, in Sadarshan's connection with Prabhupada, we saw that the first Nyaya of Sheshka, they don't even deal with the mind. It is pure intellectual.
Yeah, true.
The mind comes in yoga.
Yeah, only in yoga, but even Patanjali, it's not really dealing with the mind the way we try to deal with it. He doesn't give a higher taste there, which is. You just mentioned that the mind.
No. Yes, yeah, mechanical. And
it's
physical.
Mechanical, so it's more again an intellectual platform.
Yeah, intellectual and physical because they do all the asanas. Yeah, and then Jaimini will engage the mind in that you are engaged in pious activities. You know the advantage of that, so you're controlling from there, but it still ends in sense gratification.
Yeah. It's more like flowery language in the Vedas.
Yes.
You control the mind by promising something.
Promising, yes.
You promised land.
Yes.
And Vedanta then
actually analyzes the mind properly,
mm-hmm.
and properly engages the mind.
Yeah. That would be also, I think, as Sahutramash wrote that Vedanta psychology, because he found that in the modern, you know, psychological field, then they don't actually know what the mind is and deal with it. You know, they observe it and they put together much information from observation, but they haven't, they don't actually know how it works or why it works or what to do to elevate it. The maximum they can do is bring you up to the point of comfortably engaging in sense gratification that's considered, you know, socially acceptable. That's the maximum. That's the maximum benefit they can give you. You know, it's just anamoy that's, you know, can fit into society.
But that would mean, by definition, trying to not to hear the voice of the Paramatma, which is the conscientious. It says that something is wrong there.
Yeah.
You're actually not doing right. So they just, that's the only thing they can do, just try to ignore this for as long as possible.
Yeah, because it's just being true to yourself. Yes.
Also, we can see in that connection of the shared darshans, as Prabhupada says about the five levels of consciousness, the first one, anamaya, being just being engaged in finding food and sustaining the body, and pranamaya is trying to understand the life symptoms, and manomaya or jnanamaya is the stage where the thinking, feeling and willing becomes prominent. And as Taittiriya Upanishad says, that the jnanamaya stage is where all the Vedic, I think Atharva Veda is the basis, Rig Veda, Samaveda, right hand, left hand, or Samaveda is the head, Rig and Yajur are right and left, and the torso is the Brahmanas, which is the rituals of, Samhitas, Brahmanas, that one. So there, the five darshans are actually establishing us at Jnanamaya level properly, and then Vedanta takes to Vijnanamaya, where you're trying to understand the inner meaning of the scriptures and gain to the higher level of absolute truth. And using that Vedanta, then philosophy, when one engages, use it exclusively for the worship of Lord, then one can achieve to that Anandamaya state.
It's interesting. Yeah, I guess life force is like, yeah, others. Thinking, feeling, willing. Okay, then you control, you regulate that, and then you get benefit.
So generally, the modern science can deal on the level of pranamaya nicely because of deciphering, able to decipher the life symptoms and not.
Yeah.
That's what the instruments are.
But I think their goal is there. They're actually dealing. When they talk to you, they deal on the anamaya
class. I'm just saying the analysis aspect, not the goal of the prayojana.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what keeps things moving, and that's what helps you to analyze. Otherwise, it's just matter. There's no point on analyzing things.
It's interesting. It would be, you'd say it's like, in one sense, you could say your traditional pranamaya would be, we're an individual, we fit into society.
Mm-hmm.
But in the modern, it's about you as an individual, and, you know, society has to, you know, accommodate you. Yeah, acknowledge you and inspire you. Like that. That's how you're the victim. Well, before it was, you may be the victim, and you have to move beyond that and become part of the society. Now here, the society has to go that way. So it's like a reverse pranamaya. You know, instead of coming up, it's just kind of, you know, bring it down. It still has its foot in the pranamaya area. But,
it's they demand that people take them on the virtue only of what they think that they are. That's the only pramana. I think that I am this, so everybody should accept me as I think I am.
Are you saying the fittest only will survive? It does the same thing.
So then if you think that you're a pumpkin, then Halloween's coming.
Yeah.
You look really good on my front porch chair with a candle.
At least survival of the fittest is actually true.
Yeah, no, it's a
proven fact.
Yes, it's observable.
But what Prabhu is saying is just phantasmagoria, is what I think I am. This is like, it's completely childish.
Oh, because we're working on the same level. He's not talking about it anymore.
Yeah, that's the idea I wanted to share. It seems Prabhu is talking about the different teaching techniques.
Yes.
And it seems to me the issue is whether you use these techniques to elevate the consciousness, to bring them to the level of vichara, which means they have to give the sound to liberation, to read books and to listen.
Yes.
Or you just simplify. You present them a simplified version in a bad sense of this, of the reality of Shastra, and just live at this level and don't deal with them anymore. It's easier for you because they're less intelligent. That's okay. For you, that's enough. You cannot understand more than that. So leave it to them. I think the issue is whether you use this.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Elevation to the.
Yeah, because the thing is that it works. The things that it's nice that devotees get inspired. That's actually a good thing. But if in the process also then they become not inclined to read the books or to hear, that will be the difficulty. But if by reading they get inspired, then that's good. You know, otherwise put it give it a name, Krishna consciousness for dummies, or like they have those books.
Yeah.
It's not popular anymore.
It's not. Politically correct. Because we're so fabulous.
Shaivu Chandra used moron yoga.
Moron yoga?
Moron yoga. Oh, moron yoga. And I say, more on yoga.
Yeah,
yoga. Oh, I see. It's a play on.
The other title could have been Yoga and 17 Other Things You're Doing Wrong. But I decided to just call it
More on Yoga. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So.
I think the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's society is that they're so many varieties of different preachers, because I've seen one who is he understands shabda and this and that and gives top presentation of Krishna consciousness, like really very good, and then the audience tries to, they can catch it. And they try to drag him to their own level with their questions and interactions and this and that. So what he does, he's like super sharp. He says, oh, you want this? Then go to that whoever compiled that book. He says, okay, you should study with him first, then come to me. Because you guys are like, what is that, morons?
More on yoga.
So there are different kinds of preachers. But as you mentioned, we all have to keep humble.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if we...
because if you say, these other things I can't relate to, but, I like this. As long as there's a taste and an inspiration and one's moving forward, then it's good. But if it's kind of like, if you use the Hindu thing, I read Bhagavad Gita when I was 12 and all that, and now they're in their 40s, 50s, and they're still talking about it like that, like they know Gita. That's kind of like that. Yes, you just have to, because the point is I'm sure it has a very, good place like that. But I would think it's more for getting people in the door, or for getting people interested, or new kids, or people can read it and get inspired, it catches that. But once they catch, then they should start, the process of vichara.
Yesterday I was watching a clip of Zaki Hussain, the tabla player.
Zaki Hussain. Somehow, because of the fan, I heard something like Dracula Hussain. Dracula.
A new guy from Romania.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't sit too close.
He wanted to say that it's the student that learns, and the teacher is not like teaching. The knowledge is unlimited, that's flowing, and the teacher just connects you to that.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the capacity of the student, he can take a small glass of it, or he can take a big, you know, tumbler, whatever he can. And is when he's staying in connection to music, it has like a very deep, profound statement in it.
Yeah, I would even take it a step further. I would say is what he's saying there is true,
yes.
But at the same time, the teacher is also learning.
Yeah.
The teacher is also learning. So the process of teaching, the teacher and the student both learn because the ocean of because I'm here, the ocean of music. I don't remember what I was saying. He's just standing on the beach.
So it's his point in that was he was trying to make teacher is not like, you know, trying to squeeze the ocean and give just the drop and all. He just made like 2 minute statement. And we also that it's not just presenting little bit and then we simplify it so now it's okay. Like
okay, yeah.
Then you are through that you're connecting them to the
more along the lines of that Krishna's mercy is available for everyone, but mm-hmm. each person is receptive,
taking, yes,
different degrees of similar.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's there, I think it's also Lord Chaitanya says that.
Mm-hmm.
He's only getting a drop
mm-hmm.
of the unlimited ocean.
And also, some other place it said that the ocean of bhakti is very deep and, oh no, about the sky. It's like, you know, unlimited amount of sky and different devotees flying at different levels.
Different levels, yeah.
Based on their capabilities.
Yeah.
It's
powerful.
Yeah. I just want to mention that what we're having here, maybe we should think about taping it in video. Because this is exactly what the people do and they make good money out of it. it's called podcast.
You know? Podcast, yeah.
So you put it on YouTube and people talk different topics and people give good money to watch it.
Yeah.
So if we need money, then that's the way to make it.
Yeah.
That's
not supposed to come from us.
Yeah, then you have to be
careful.
There's no audience for actual
copyright. Yeah. Or you get some audience,
so
people like Vaishnava Shikha.
Yeah.
When you blend in all the jokes from Maharaj Yoga and the
Maharaj Yoga.
Yeah, that would get some.
More on yoga. Yes. Yes. Okay. The principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors on the path of transcendental realization. The whole spiritual process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual, and the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to spiritual activities. Becoming detached from material things does not mean becoming inert altogether, as men with a poor fund of knowledge think. Naishkarmya means not undertaking activities that will produce good or bad effects. Negation does not mean negation of the positive. Negation of the non-essentials does not mean negation of the essential. Similarly, the detachment from material forms does not nullify the positive form. The bhakti cult is meant for realization of the positive form. When the positive form is realized, the negative forms are automatically eliminated. Therefore, with the development of the bhakti cult, with the application of positive service to the positive form, one naturally becomes detached from inferior things, and he becomes attached to superior things. Similarly, the bhakti cult being the supermost occupation of the living being, leads him out of material sense enjoyment. That is the sign of a pure devotee. He is not a fool, nor is he engaged in the inferior energies, nor does he have material values. He is not possible. This is not possible by dry... I was thinking, how is he not possible? This is not possible by dry reasoning. It actually happens by the grace of the Almighty. In conclusion, one who is a pure devotee has all other good qualities, namely knowledge, detachment, etc. But one who has only knowledge or detachment is not necessarily well acquainted with the principles of bhakti cult. Bhakti is the supermost occupation of the human being. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, purport. Right, so this balance here that you know, as part of the principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors, but you have to see that they come naturally with bhakti. Means those who are not non-devotees, they try to use them separately and get their benefit. But for the devotees, they use devotional service, and these are used as support. They come naturally, and they use this as support. You know, so it gives that, and gives very nice. He sees the how he gives the he gives the point, and then he says similarly detachment from material forms and all that, and then he brings that down to further, you know, then similarly the bhakti cult being supermost, he's not a fool, so he's making the analysis, right, that you have good and bad. You don't have to throw the whole thing out. You keep the good, not the and bad. So then he says, similarly, the devotees, that's what they do, because they're focused on Krishna. Then they see everything in connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Like that? And then he... So that's similarly there at the end, that one, that's the... what is it? Upanaya. He's made the point, and now he brings it close by saying, you know, therefore, or similarly, devotees, they do that. You know, it means you have your tarka that you're presenting and your examples and all these things. Then you bring it, you know, up to that point where you've made your point, but now it has to be applied. So then you bring it in. So similarly, devotees do this. Then he says, so therefore, bhakti is, you know, or thus, like this. Does that make sense? So you can see his Prabhupada here is perfectly using the yes, but he also seems he'll use it in a rotating basis, dynamic, that each paragraph may within itself have all five, but it's all in line. That it's, you could say in one sense it's doing the aspect of the udaharana, and that is bringing all the different aspects together. Is that good? Bringing all the various aspects together. You know, that's bringing all the ingredients. Means each ingredient means it's sometimes one ingredient's enough, or it has a two, three, they blend it and you can move them around. But sometimes they need to be explained on their own. So then each ingredient will be explained using that Panchanga Nyaya aspect. You know? Then he'll take all those and then bring it, blend it together, and then give the final conclusion. So what he opened with, what he closed with.
This is mastery.
Yes. And you don't find it to be technical or scholarly or that, but it's so perfectly done with using that simple language and all that. Yes.
Also, we observe in that if there are like two lines of the verse and each stays saying something, then sometimes half line is described in one paragraph, another half like that. Mm-hmm. And then it goes and finally it gives a conclusion of four. I think it's Burijan Prabhu or somebody wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that I would like to prepare for the class before and do it everything nicely and then give a class. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada appreciated, yes, that endeavor should be there, we should prepare and everything, but at the same time, we should be ready to give a class in a minute's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And he said how to do that. Every word of the Bhagavatam or scripture contains immense knowledge. So you can just speak on that, and that's what he's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
there's the verse, and each of that contains.
That's what Acharya is doing.
That's what Acharya is doing.
We hold some fact. Word by word.
Yes, yes. And the what's the theme that's running through all those words? Yeah, that's the anvaya. And then the presentation of the anvaya is through the avyayas. Avyayas. Never get it right.
That's what they say. That's how you should meditate on the guide when you chant. You should meditate simultaneously on the word for word meaning and the overall meaning as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Similar concept.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in Manu, he talks about that, what you're saying, because Manu mentions that you have, I don't remember if he mentions the word for word, that may be Acharya said, but when you chant it, they'll break it down, so should you make breaks, so then you have the Om is of course there, then you're going to have the Burbu Viswa, then you're going to have the three padas of the Gayatri. So the he mentions that for the how you say those who are not Grihasthas, they would break after Om, after Bhubha Vaswa, and then in between each of the ones, each of the three padas. And for the Grihasthas, they would not break between Om and Bhubha Vaswa. You know? Because you're seeing the Lord, you're seeing the material world, you're seeing the three sambandha abhideya prayojana like that. The grahasthas have to see Guru Viswa in connection with the Lord, Om. Because you know, they're dynamically working with that, so they have to always remember to see it like that. While the brahmacharis and that, they're not, so they see the Lord, they see the world, and it's not as, they're just doing service, so they don't have to break it. But it's like what you're saying, is that it's that there's a, you have some method to. I think there's a. I saw it once. I think Bhanumash translated. It's a small book. Jiva Goswami gave an explanation on the Brahma Gayatri. You've seen it. You've seen it?
Recently, it's released.
What
is it?
Oh, I mean, I saw it like 30 years ago. So it must have been. It wasn't published. Yeah. But it was because it's explaining the Brahma Gayatri as Radharani.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I thought, you know, oh, okay. And he said, oh, what?
What analogy you gave about the sun and the sunshine and the warmth?
Yes.
Just when you mentioned you gave it in the version Brahma.
Yeah.
In my mind, that's how I, because I heard also from you, Brahma Gayatri can be understood in this way, Krishna and his energy, because we come in contact with Krishna through his energy. The sun by itself, it's difficult to relate to the sun unless you have the sunshine and the
yes, light. Yes, yeah, what's the meaning?
Heat. Yes. Anyway.
Yes, no, that's good. Because Deva is Krishna, and Bhargo is that effulgence. So in other words, she is the effulgence of the sun.
So that makes Jiva Savitur. Is it? So Jiva, if you meditate in that way, so Jiva is Savitur. It's that one who assists the Bhargo to worship the Deva. I heard that explanation from Shiva.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's there beings. We'll have to find it one day and figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's but the whole thing is it's all about, you know, because we'll say, means the Vedic is an expansion of that. In other words, you have Braj. Braj expands, and you add a touch of majesty in it, then you get. You know, the rest of Goloka, right? Because otherwise it's also known as Gokula or Vrindavan, and Goloka means everything else.
Yeah.
Then you have Vaikuntha, and then that expands down into here. Right? So then here is that, then at least it connects it back, just like Om is A-U-M, the Chandra and the Bindu. Right? So the A is Krishna, the U is Radharani, is interposed, and M are the Jivas. Then the dot, I mean the Chandra is the Dham, and the dot is the pastimes. So Om itself is complete in that. You know, so it's like that, but it just has those. So the Om Tat Sat, you know, Prabhupada used that Om Tat Sat. So it's, you have the Om, you have the Tat, and you have Sat. It's just Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, but it's being presented, it's being said as Prayojana Abhideya Sambandha. Because Om, you know, the Lord and the pastimes and that Tat, that knowledge about that Sat, the eternal principle. So you're saying bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So it's that any of these things, you can take it all the way to Vrindavan. Because you see Bhaktivinoda, of course, taking the Acharyas are taking Upanishadic verses and take them right into the pastimes. So it has all that in it. So technically, that's the direct, means that is, you know, direct understanding, but it's hidden. Because the hidden is not obscure. The hidden is just the subtleties of the direct. So you have indirect, direct, and hidden. But the hidden is not, you know, speculative, because we'll then say, oh, hidden, it can be anything, what you want, you know, what is it, you know, it's like that. Damn Yankees, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
That's probably the word sublime.
Sublime, yes. And that was also before, he said, the same thing is sublime for the those who are advanced, and it's easy for those who are beginning. Yes. So, if anybody offered the pictorial presentation is also tasting Krishna, then that's the perfection of it. Or they should see is that from that, then they should take up the association of devotees nicely, and in that association discuss, you know, what is it, Satatam Kirtayanto, like that. And so then.
I like how at the end of the purport from the first canto, the one we just read, Prabhupada's paraphrasing the actual Manichaya of 5.18.12. So even though the verse in the first canto is talking about knowledge and attachment in relation to bhakti, at the end of the purport, here Prabhupada's talking about and all other qualities. In 5.18.12 is the one where he talks about all the qualities of the devotees automatically become manifest in the form of bhakti. So it's cool how it's all linked together, but even though the Tani Chen was just talking about detachment and knowledge, but that verse, the full verse, talks about more, and then in the verse that is being explained about it, then the verse back to the original that talks about even all the rest of the qualities as well.
Yeah, it all comes from it's all connected.
Yeah.
That's the things that, I mean, you see, as it means all of you, when you're doing your work, is that, let's say a verse is quoted in a purport, you could go to that verse in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and you'll see in the purport by Prabhupada or any of the Acharyas, they're saying the exact same thing. You know, but in the context of that verse there, but the principle is the same. So you never have to worry, oh, that won't, you know, he's talking about something else. You know. So how you one comes up with the idea that there's contradiction, I'm not sure of that.
I guess it's a projection from internal into external.
Yes, must be.
Well, we also get distracted by the details, because in certain situations the details, you know, you would do something, and in another situation would do something else. But we're more focused on the details. We want to be like, well, no, if this happens, we do this.
Yeah.
We don't want to see. We don't want to accommodate the fact that circumstances can, you know, change a detail.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, that's a good point.
We think there's a problem. You know, like the same thing that inspired us in our devotional service early on. Later, once we see more of a connection to Krishna, then it's not as important anymore, and then we accept something else that's more directly connected. So some people can't accommodate that though, because this thing. No, it was so important at the beginning. You know, we can't just all of a seventh leg, wouldn't it?
No.
If it weren't for that,
it evolves. It doesn't change.
So they don't see the connection, they see the thing.
Yeah.
And so we get distracted, and that's why we can't easily accommodate seeming contradictions.
That's why finally.
You also train to see the differences. It's much more easy than to see the similarity. That's why.
That's true.
It's obvious.
As most people see the difference, analyze the difference, not the same.
It's like critique. You know, you always critique somebody, it's easier than to find positive, so you see the negative, you should have a difference, and it's not
Also on the point that Prabhuji mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, I think, in Vijitanda Shishamrita, actually explains that phenomenon. He says, in order to establish yourself on a higher level of practice of bhakti, you have to debunk the lower. He actually explained that, you know, Shraddha, you know, to Prema, he says you should do that. Otherwise, if you attach to the previous practices, you can't move up. It holds you back.
Right. Yeah.
Known as the stepping stone principle. You want to get to the other side, so you need this thing, but you also need to leave it in order to continue. So, but people want to argue, like for Varnashram, for example, it's a stepping stone thing. Some people say, well, it's not necessary, and I'll give them the verses that say that it's external and eventually it's not necessary.
Right.
But if you're over here and you want to get over there, then it is necessary. But then you have fanatics that they want to embrace it and never leave it behind. So, so basically you have people saying they're on one side of the river, they're trying to get to the other, but they're saying, well, you don't need that stepping stone because eventually you have to give it up, but they're on the wrong side. Then you have others.
That's very nice.
Yeah, then you have others who are actually on the stone, they accept it, but they won't move off of it. They like build a house on the stone. And they're like, but the point is actually to get to the other side. No, but this is, you know, this is how, look, I was over there and now I'm over here, I'm closer, so I, you know, this is good. Well, yeah, it's good until you don't need it anymore.
So then in here, then that means, are you alluding to the interesting cultural phenomena where if you go back, especially probably more into the, you know, the older, like the medieval and things like that, that on major bridges like you'd see in London, they would actually build houses on them. You know, the whole of it means you've got this wide bridge where it's got houses on both sides, like 2, 3, 4 story houses.
No, so I wish we could see.
I was
on the bridges.
No, there's very small, like arca, an entrance, and there are 2 rooms.
Okay.
So I was told, I don't know if this is true or not, or if it's only in some cases. The reason people did that is because they wouldn't have to pay taxes. Because over the waterway, you don't belong to either side. It's actually no taxes there.
Really? That's
very clever.
There's actually a whole village between Bolivia and Peru and on Lake Titicaca. They made floating islands. They tied a bunch of cane together and they made thousands of islands and they built houses on top of it and they don't have to pay any taxes or anything because they don't belong to either of the countries.
Oh, okay.
You spend so much money building that stuff. Just to avoid taxes that
would cost you. I mean, they don't get a lot of natural stuff. They just take the reeds and they, you know, just tie it together. But that's what they did. None of them are paying taxes. But I heard a similar thing about the houses on the bridges.
But that's not pay taxes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't to not get to the other side, though. It wasn't to not get to the other side.
But it'd be funny if it were. No, the bridge is so important.
Yeah,
it's so
here.
I don't know, you can't leave it behind.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the opposite of throwing the baby away with the bathwater. It's keeping the
bathwater and throwing out the baby.
Keeping everybody.
But you can, I mean, it's okay to keep the baby too, but you should also keep the bathwater.
Yeah. And keep the baby and the bathwater.
So live on the bridge.
Sacred. Okay. Yeah, no, this is good, huh?
Yeah,
this is good. Srila Prabhupada further elaborates in his book, Dharma.
What is this book?
Dharma, the way of transcendence.
Small it's a small book. Yeah.
He's just elaborating on a few verses of the second chapter.
It was written there as some discussions or a lecture?
I don't know. I wanted to ask always Naresh to bring these questions on all those small books sometimes. Nothing is more.
Yeah, because some of them Prabhupada had written himself, and some of them are put together after. Some of them are compilations, just quotes from everywhere.
That you can easily decipher. Yeah. But these ones you cannot.
Ask Jagat. I will ask Jagat. He said, no, if somebody can ask.
Okay.
Ask about all the other small books. 5, 6, 7 of them.
There's like.
Well, most of them are clear. Yeah.
Most of them are clear, but there's 6, 7 of them which are.
Okay.
I'll give the list.
You'll give the list.
Because you want to use it before for the boys in the Gurukul, before they come to the first year, then that would be the best.
That would be nice to study the small books. I was also thinking, as you know, depending on what it is, you have, I think it's in the folio, the original Macmillan edition of the Bhagavad Gita, the short version, so like 250 pages or something, so it's like a third. And so Prabhupada would have gone through it and cut down the purports and left the really essential stuff. And so if the kids studied that, they would get to the, you know, the essential points first. And then when they do the big one later, you know, when they're older, then it would, might be easier.
Some of those purports, they were confusing because the way Srila Prabhupada spoke and the way people typed it, they actually wrote something different than what he said.
Oh, like, I mean, you'd have to adjust it. Then you'd have to put some effort to adjust it with the newest, what Jayadwaita, the purports of Jayadwaita Maharaj redid them.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that.
Means, the, I think the Gita we're pressing now is he went back to the original tapes.
Right.
And because he started to also notice something that he had a doubt. So he went, because the original was I think, edited by Hayagriva.
Right.
So then he went back and he found that, like you said, some of the words the Prophet said or the phrases he said, they didn't quite catch.
Right.
Or they may have typed them, but then the editor didn't know and adjusted them. So then he took it back to what the tapes were saying.
Right. Yeah.
Like that. Now some people say it was changing, but it was going back to the original.
Sure.
Like that. So that's.
Yeah, someone recently, because they wanted to ask me a question about something, he said it was a specific verse of purport he was confused about. And he read it, and I said, what verse is it? And I looked, and I said, I read it. And he goes, no, that's completely different. So I looked, and I said, no, probably it was just that, you know, because he had the original Macmillan edition, not when it went back to the recording. So you can see, when you read both, you can tell what happened, that Srila Prabhupada said something, and with his accent, it sounded like a different word, and made it almost incomprehensible. It just didn't make sense. But then there's also the famous ones that, like, the planet and the trees. And, and, you know,
those. Oh, pea tree loka.
Right, so I agree with Prabhu.
Oh, pea tree loka, planet of the trees.
Because Prabhupada said planet of the pit trees, and he just understood planet of the trees. And so that was there. So that was one of the most famous, you know.
Famous trees.
But yeah, there are a few others that were, you know, just due to the accent, you know, he just typed what he thought he heard, and it didn't even make sense with the philosophy. But it was there.
Trees. Okay, so that's where the Ents are from.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada.